So my name is Helen Brown. I'm with the University of Idaho, and my presentation is really about tool development, and it was tool development based on looking at bicycle and pedestrian behaviors. Nothing to disclose. And I want to start by talking about some of the impetus between this grant. The city of Moscow is not large. It's the home of University of Idaho. We have about 16,000 students. The community is about 22,000. And we have some traditional relationship. Some of our relationships, I think if you're in academies, you know the town gown really matters. It really matters if you're part of the university, and it really matters if you're part of the city. And sometimes those relationships are good, and sometimes they're strained. And one of our efforts in active travel is to have great relationships with the city of Moscow. The city of Moscow was engaged in multimodal planning. And for Idaho, words matter. In Idaho, the words for multimodal planning had always been called transportation. Pedestrians were seen as impediments. And to move into this, to have even a verbiage shift to multimodal was a really big deal for this area of the country. So the city had not very much money, about $10,000, to really look at three aspects of active travel. One was to train our transportation engineers, to send them to school, basically. And they spent a week in Portland riding bikes. And that was a really important thing for our transportation engineers to do, to see what is it like to be on a streetscape when the signs are really for pedestrians and bikes, not cars. What is it like to be on a share road? That seems scary. Can you really paint an intersection? Won't people go out in the middle of it and look at it and get hit by cars? So we did, that was one aspect of the funding that we had. A second was to really do a bicycle and pedestrian documentation project. It had never been done in our city, and it had certainly never been done with community participation. And the third, and I won't talk about it, was an assessment of a greenway. Could we have one? And I know if you're from here, and I'm from the West, I'm from this area originally, so I'm used to sort of active travel mentality, but not where I'm from now. Could we have one corridor that was really made safe for bicycle and pedestrian? So we were engaged in a multimodal planning, but we really wanted to involve the community because we needed community buy-in. It wasn't enough to send our engineers out and our engineering students out. We really needed community to say, we really want to embrace a more active way of traveling. So part of this whole process of coming up with this documentation was, can we get people excited about the idea of multimodal transportation and transportation that is taking citizen input? The second one, I said it already, we just wanted better relationships. We wanted students doing projects that were real world, that really mattered, instead of hypothetical things that sat on a shelf. We wanted the city to know the capacity that we had at the university to mobilize projects. We have one city transportation engineer who's really stretched. We have a school of engineering with a focus on transportation studies, so we have a lot of capacity to help. And third, we really wanted a sustainable method. The last thing that we wanted to do was come in as a university and put together this package of how to document traffic patterns and leave, and it never happened again. We wanted something that would be easy to use. So when I show you what we did with your tools, you're going to see these were easy to use, and they were reproducible and sustainable. In fact, this last fall, we had the second annual count. So we also wanted it to be in a super simple online format that other neighboring communities in Idaho can use, and that's happening now. We're assembling them with an online format. We're working with state partners to develop a toolkit that will be disseminated statewide. So what was this? Well, it was a unique partnership. We had 70 partners in active travel, and 40 were active, and I think that's a great number. We had 70 sort of self-identified as interested, but 40 got in there, attended all of our meetings, our plannings, and they were on the street. This is just an example. We've done so much transportation planning. We're really excited about it. Our plan's going to be unveiled soon. You'll see a lot, if you follow Moscow, Idaho, like I do, you'll see a lot of changes. The other thing I want to make notice is this variety of students that we used, and I want to say just a couple things about it. I'm in the Department of Movement Sciences. I'm a public health nutritionist. How I got there, I'll never know, but that's where I sit because I'm a health promotion kind of person. But we have a special transportation center within the civil engineering department, and we have one particular researcher, and his focus is sustainable travel. I met him immediately and said, we're working together. I want your students. We need to do great partnership, and we do it in many, many levels. So his students are getting away from just traffic signals and really looking at bikes and people and saying, how do we plan a city for bikes and people? And not our school's famous for signals. That's what we do at the University of Idaho in transportation. How do we do it different? Psychology, you know, you might wonder why psychology's up there. We're doing human factors work. So what is it that makes it safe? Where do people look? Where do they attend? That's the kind of information and study that our psychologists are working on with human factors. It's such an exciting field. I knew nothing about it till we did this. And then we've included art students because we wanted it to be, we wanted to have a great look, we wanted to have a brand, and so we reached out to graphic design. So one of the first things that we did was we said, we need to brand this thing. We need it to have a name. We want it to live. We want it to live on. And we actually had, this looks super simple, but we had several permutations of this brand. We had the big finger, like Idaho likes to have this big finger logo that looked like you're preaching to me. We wanted to have all, you know, we went through so many iterations of it. But what's great is we had 40 partners in a room saying, I like this. I don't like this. Can you morph this? And so from even the very beginning of the brand, it was we really did do that community participatory model of saying, could you live with this brand? If we kept this, could you live with this? And we came, and I know it's probably, you know, we couldn't trademark it. We see iCount. A lot of people have used iCount for other things, for steps. But we created this logo that you'll see on top, and then we created stickers that we used on the actual count day, so everybody got a sticker like I vote, I gave blood, so we gave I count when you had that, which was pretty fun to see people all over the city that day wearing I count stickers when they were walking and biking. We used we had no paid media. This was a very cheap project. We did it for about $3,500, and that included $2,000 I paid a student to do some work. Very, very cheap. So we used our networks, media releases, press. It was just very cheap, but we got it done. We used listservs. We used Facebook. We had lots and lots of friends. We have an active travel network, and we learned about so many people that were involved in active travel, just putting it out there and learning. Our city also has something called commissions. A lot of cities do commission for sustainability, commission for parks and recreation. We gathered all the commission folks that had anything to do with walking, which was everybody because everybody walks, and we got great representation from our commissions. The next thing that we did, and I have these things. If you want these, you can email me and I'll give these to you. But the National Bicycle and Pedestrian Documentation Project had forms, but we felt that they were, we felt like we needed to personalize them and formalize them for our city. And so that's what we did. And so what you see on the far left is the form that we came up with, intersections. And when you think about these, don't think about those three grids as roads. They're not, they're the direction that you go. They're not right. They're not the traffic lanes. But we were really conscious of looking at bikes, peds, and others. So that was any other device to get across, skateboard, wheelchair. And when people counted, their package said, here's where you stand. This is the name of your street. And so I'll talk about how we selected that, but from henceforth, we will count at those same places unless we have another idea about why we should count differently. But people had this package that told them exactly what to do, exactly where to stand. And we realized we had to tell people where north was. I mean, sometimes you do this and you think, oh, this is simple. They know where to stand. But they didn't know north. So we had to really put in street names so they knew north. The right side is something called a screen line count. And that's just standing in one place, and as people walk by me, I count them. And the Bicycle Pedestrian Project didn't really look at direction. They just looked at numbers of people. And then we thought, well, as long as we're counting people, let's learn more. What do we want to learn? Well, we wanted to know, do people wear helmets? That was important to us. There were particular commuters that we wanted to know that commuter traffic wore helmets. The other thing that we wanted to know was, are they on the sidewalk or are they on the road? And that might seem like a really basic thing, but we've got crazy stuff going on with bikes because nobody knows where to ride because sidewalks end and begin and bike paths end and begin. So we wanted to see where they're jumping around and driving motorists crazy. So that's how we use Screenline, and I've got some pictures of that. How did we recruit? We had a web-based sign-up. I'll show you a slide of that. We kept everything that we did. We tried to stay away from paper as much as we could, except for the count day. But we had a standalone training. We developed training slides, which we're happy to share. And those slides were online, so if they couldn't come to the training that the night, just the night of the event, we kept it real short. We said, come for 1 hour. We'll train you. We'll feed you. We'll give you a package, and you'll be done. And we'll see you tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock when you count. But we also had it online. And then we made, like I said, very specific count packets. But we also knew we must reward our volunteer counters. And so we had a coffee card, and we had a little card that said, here's what I'm doing. I'm not trying to sell you anything. So in case somebody said, why are you out here counting me? They had vests. So we were really specific about this packet that they got with all the information the counters needed, a little perk of a coffee card, a granola bar in case they were hungry and they missed breakfast at 7 a.m. They felt really well taken care of because we personalized everything. Their name was on the packet. Their name was on the form. And this was our online sign-up system. So if somebody wanted to count, we drove them to the City of Moscow website. They could say who they were, what time of day they wanted to count, and a little information about them. And then we gave them a tool, a counting tool. So we had these forms that they'd actually count on, but we felt like they're going to get out there and go, what am I doing? Oh, right, I've got to every 15 minutes use a new form. So we made counting training tools, and that was in their packet. We talked about laminating it on their clipboard, but we didn't get that far. I mean, if I did it again, I would make directions on that were permanent on the clipboard. But we gave them information about what to do for both the intersection and the screen line. So what happened on that count day? Well, this isn't a super clear picture, but this is one of my students. And the other thing that we wanted to do was do real work in a real world in real time. And so I rolled this into a project of direct observation for health assessments. So we have students doing health assessments in very many avenues, but I had an active travel group. And so I love students. He just stood there and he said, what do I do? And I said, you're talking to people. You're at something called the listening station. And what we did was just collect comments. We had 3x5 cards, and that was that student's job. We didn't do an intercept survey. We decided that was too much. But we just took comments and got lots and lots of them. First time these students had ever done anything like this. They used it for an assignment that was part of assessment collection. And we got a lot of great data at this intersection. This is an example of Streamline. We have a nice system of trails, and this person is doing, she's stopping someone to give them a button and also to ask them where, I don't know, I think she's just talking to them. But anyway, that's an example of Streamline. They just go across and you count. And this guy really is working, but look how much fun it is. And I like to show this picture because this kind of documentation, I think people had a great time that day. They all felt like they were part of something. They all wore their vests. It was kind of chilly. It's October in Idaho. They brought street chairs. Some people brought radios. It turned into an event in itself. They counted from 7 to 9 in the morning and then 4 to 6 in the afternoon. The other thing that we did, and this was a little less successful, we learned a lot trying to do it. At these listening stations, we wanted to find out where people were, where they started and where they were going. So we used this idea of zone maps at the listening station. We were trying to track their walking behaviors just to get some idea of how far people went and get their comments. But do you see any problem with this map? What would be a problem? People didn't know where they lived in relation to these streets. So they said, I don't know. I don't know where I am. So on this map, I don't know where my house is. So what we learned is nice idea, not a good execution. We would have to put in a lot more streets and a lot more landmarks because people just didn't know where they were. And this is not a very big city. So I learned that people don't know north and they really don't know where they live. So we learned, but the listening station was fun. The local hospital had a healthy snack. People could stop and talk. We made the whole listening station kind of festive. We based the analysis, and I won't go through all these, but on questions. So when I was working with the transportation engineers, they said, there's some things that, what do we have this data, and we talked about it before we collected it, but we said, what do we want to find out? What do we want to find out? What can we find out? And these were some of the things. So we wanted to look at volume. We knew that. We wanted to look at turn modes. We knew that. We wanted to know helmets on and off sidewalk. But the last thing that I wanted to emphasize that we wanted to know, and how many of you do Safer House to School? Is there anybody in the room that's involved with that program? We decided that was we had a great venue. We actually planned our discount around it. We counted the day before International Walk to School Day, and so we had students counting before International Walk to School Day, and then we always count on International Walk to School Day, and then we counted the next day because we wanted to see if we had any residual effect from having this international school event, and then we counted a week later after that. So we picked 8 sites. The engineers have helped me understand cordons because that's not my field. If I stand here, these 8 places, I'm going to get all the kids that go to 3 schools. So they were really strategic about figuring out where kids are going to be walking and will we catch them. So that was one of our questions. I didn't do this work. This was all done by our transportation engineers, but I knew we needed the data analysis to be simple and quick, and we needed to reduce as much error as possible. So he developed a system using Excel where people that did the data entry just were simply looking at that form that person had, and their screen looked just like it, and they just went click, click, click. Super, super simple. And it really made the data collection and analysis very fast. So we get something like this, which is kind of hard, and it doesn't show you much. So then I said, let's do sort of an infographic on this. And this looks a little crude, but we're still working on it. Like, let's have thick arrows where we have a lot of direction. Let's have thin where we have less. And we're going to keep working on this, but that's way better than the slide I just showed you. We looked at comparisons. We just used GIS with Google Maps, and you can see where we had heavier volumes. But we didn't have anything like this. I look at San Francisco, what you do. It's so sophisticated, but, you know, we're in a small town, and we had nothing like this to say, here's our traffic volume. And so now we have a system for at least understanding volume. We looked at the same similar way. We were looking at where people were riding sidewalk or not on sidewalk. And this was pretty exciting to us because I run the Safe Routes program with the city. We saw that in blue, that's the count of our event and the next day, and we see that, wow, they're still walking. And we did a little more analysis in this. We also were counting, did they walk alone? Did they walk with parents? And we found out that walking with parents increased after the event, which was good news for us. So what did we learn? I think the social marketing was really important. I think the brand was awesome. People still, several communities in Idaho are now going to do iCount. It's catchy. People they like their stickers. I think selecting your site strategically is really, really important. And we talked about recent improvement, so you want to find out if it makes a difference, if you've improved it, areas of concern, high volumes, and accidents. Those were sort of the top 4 and schools that we talked about. But that's a long discussion to think about where you're deciding to count, and we've changed some of our places. Our tools, I think, customized tools really drew volunteers in, and I think the faculty student engagement across many disciplines was a real plus. So that's my contact information if you'd like more information about that. But